The trials of your life may frustrate you, but they do have a purpose. God never moves without a purpose or a plan. And we're going to talk about the purpose of your trials in your life coming up next on Timeless Truths.
Lost in the darkness, but Jesus heard me when I cried. His grace was more than I asked for, 'cause he brought this poor sinner to life. Now as I trust in my Savior. Walk hand in hand every day. I've had some joy and some sorrow, but with all my heart I can say, here on this journey I found him faithful. Stand here and tell you how good God has been, but I found no greater forgiveness, and so I will tell you again, here on this journey I found him faithful. Was there all the time, here on this journey, overflows. Every need is surely met. Jesus has never failed me yet. He's been so good and I've been blessed. God has been faithful.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns. Thank you so much for joining us on this Lord's Day for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. Now, we're changing our time. We are normally 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings on Faith FM, and we're moving our time in the Kitchener area to 8:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. So remember that time change. We're moving to 8:30 on Sunday mornings. That's the beginning of February. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're on the 9th verse together. The Bible says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number on under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." Now, the number here speaks of those that the church should support. I believe it's from Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1. "In those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration." And so the Bible says that they are to be older than 60 years old, as given to us, 80 years, 80, scores 20, 3 is 60. So over 60 years old, and they are to be the wife of one man. Now, people have different opinions of what this passage of Scripture is teaching. Some suggest that it's one man total, that Paul is condemning as far as second marriages, as far as the supporting of the church or the support of the church. We know that Paul's not against second marriages because in chapter 5, verse 14 of 1 Timothy, he said, "I would therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the home, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably." So obviously we know that Paul's not against second marriages. So I think the spirit of this text is that a woman is to be faithful to her husband. She is to be a faithful woman. And as the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, it speaks of that very fact, that she is to be someone that is faithful, well reported of her good works in verse 10, chapter 5. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have received the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So we find the testimony of this woman is that of faithfulness, and her life is filled with good works. She's bringing up children correctly, you know, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She's lodged strangers. She's been a blessing to those that are traveling through the city. I think of missionaries, those who are preaching the gospel, and yet she's a great help and blessing to missionaries. She's washed the saints' feet. It speaks of her servant attitude. It speaks to the fact that she helps the afflicted. She helps to bear the burdens of the hurting. She helps those that are in distress. And really, to sum up the whole idea, is that she follows every good work. She is a friend to all that is good. She takes the opportunity to do what is good. The Bible says at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, "Let us eschew evil and do good. let him speak peace and ensure it. So here is a woman that is taking opportunity, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Here's a woman that takes the opportunity given to her, and she is doing good, taking that opportunity and doing good. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 says, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Now, again, we're talking about the support of the local church for widows. And the Bible says that the widows, the younger widows, you're to refuse to add to the number. And I think that we, as the Bible teaches us, the number there is older than 60 years old. And so the Bible says the reason why, and Paul gives Timothy reasons here why the younger widows are to be refused, because they begin to wax wanton against Christ. So they have made a commitment that they're going to allow God to meet their needs, and God is going to provide for them. So the church, local church, is going to support them. But as they have made a commitment to wait on the Lord and to meet their needs, they are supported by the church, but they begin to wax wanton. In other words, they begin to grow weary of that decision. They begin to grow weary on the church meeting their needs. And so the Bible says in verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 5 that they will marry. This is Paul's advice. They will marry. Verse 12 says, having damnation or condemnation. It's the same thought in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, or condemnation, because they don't deserve the Lord's, they don't discern the Lord's body. So they left their first faith. Now, this is not that they became an apostate or that they fell away from the faith, but they were weak in the faith, and they left their commitment or their faith in trusting God to meet the needs of their life. And this has brought on judgment or condemnation in their life. And the Bible goes further in chapter 5, verse 13. It says, and withal they learn to be idle. So they have learned to do nothing. They're wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. So they learn to be idle. We notice this expression, they learn to be idle. There's a hymn that we sing in our hymn books at Kitchener Baptist Church, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And I believe it's the last verse. I'm not sure. I believe it's the last verse. He says, I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. And he knows that process of faith. I've learned to trust him. It took some time, but God taught me to trust him. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that these younger widows, they learn to be idle. And because they're doing nothing, you know, you've heard the expression, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so because they have nothing to do, the Bible says that they become idle, and they become tattlers, and they become busybodies, speaking things they ought not. So the Bible says they wander from house to house. And by doing so, by wandering from house to house, the outcome is that they become tattlers and busybodies. Now, what is a busybody? Well, the Bible says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. A busybody is, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 12 to 15, the Bible says, but none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in another man's matters. So a busybody is someone that gets involved in someone else's life. You know, there are people, and even Christians, they get so involved in the Hollywood life and the celebrities that they are so busy tracking their life that they forget about the fact that they have to live their own life. And I mean, those people are ungodly anyway. They don't love the Lord. They're not going to guide you and direct you to a life of, that is lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they become busybodies. They're so interested in someone else's life, they forget to live their own. And the Bible says that these younger widows, they travel from house to house. They become tattlers. The thought there of a tattler is someone that's a gossiper. And they become a busybody. And they get involved in the matters of other people. You know. And so the Bible says that the outcome of this is that the younger widow should marry. The Bible says in verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So Paul says, I'm going to give you my advice. Now, this is not commanded in the Bible. This is, you know, the Bible says 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, this is not a command. This is Paul giving his advice. He says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry. I speak here of my opinion. I think it's best that the younger women marry, that they should bear children, they should guide the home, they should do the duties of a wife. In verse 14, the Bible says here, to give none occasion to the adversary. The word adversary, verse 14, is the one that opposeth. A widow should be, a widow would be vulnerable to the devil. And the devil will try to take opportunity. The word translated occasion in verse 14 means a starting point. According to Vine, the word denotes a base of operations in war. And Paul was afraid that careless behavior on the part of young widows might give Satan a launching pad from which to mount an offensive attack against the church. And so here's the warning from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is that this is my advice, that the widows, the younger widows, should marry. They should do the duties of the home, lest they are used by the devil to hurt the unity of the local church. And so the Bible says in verse 6, from which, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling. So Paul is giving his advice here, but he's giving his advice from experience, because he has seen people turn away. They have swerved. They have instead of focusing their life on the Lord Jesus, instead of Christ being their focus, they have turned aside to vain janglings. And so the Bible says in verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, or let not the church be responsible. If family has a widow, they should take care of that widow, and the church shouldn't be responsible, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so Paul circles back again to the principal thought, if a man or a woman, a family, if they have widows, they need to provide support for them, that the church be not responsible. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17, again, the Apostle Paul speaks of the elder or the pastor. Once again, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And so again, we're returning to the subject of elders, and Paul discussed the local church's responsibility to acclaim these God-appointed men for their rule. Let the elders that rule well, he began in verse 17. The word translated rule here is the same one used in chapter 3, verse 4, to describe an elder's rule over his house. The Bible says that the thought here, rule, means to superintend. So the local church here is of utmost importance to the heart of the Apostle Paul. And the Bible says that the pastors that rule well should be counted of double honor, and especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. The Bible says that they are to be worthy of double honor. They are to be worthy of double respect. I think that in our world today, because there is such a decrease in respect for God, there's a very large decrease for respect for God's man. I mean, you go back 50 years ago, unbelievers still had respect for the man of God. And yet we don't see that in our world today. And the Bible says that the pastor is to be worthy of double honor, of double respect. We see in this passage of scripture, this expression, especially those that labor in the word. And it's they that seek the face of God and preach the word of God. In verse 18, the Bible says, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." And the laborer is worthy of his reward. The Greek word here for reward is the word pay. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that the church is to look after the pastor, that the pastor should be supported by the local church. The reason is that as God took care to make provision for the laboring ox, much more should due attention be paid to those that labor for the welfare of the church. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 10, the Lord Jesus gives us this insight. The Bible says, "Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." In Luke chapter 10, verse 7, the Bible says, "And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." The Bible teaches us that the pastor should be provided for by the church, supported by the church. The Bible says, verse 19, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." Accusations against a pastor, except given by two or three witnesses or supported by testimony of two or three witnesses, should not be received. I think that you think about the attack of the devil on a pastor, on the ministry of a pastor. And so the Bible says that two or three witnesses, the testimony of two or three witnesses should be given. Pastors that have sinned, the Bible says them, verse 20, "them that sin rebuke before all." I believe, again, still talking about the pastor. Pastors that have sinned, moral issues that would disqualify him from ministry, disqualify him from serving within the local church, they are to be rebuked before the whole congregation. In verse 21, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." Another concern that Paul had within the context of God's church is partiality. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that we are to, Paul says to Timothy, listen, you need to make sure that these things are done. You need to make sure that these things are kept. And by doing so, or when these things are being done, you don't want to prefer one another. Now, it's a topic that the Bible deals with. In fact, God gives us a whole chapter in James chapter 2 about partiality and how this can be a big problem in the church. When a church is partial, it's not the heart of God, because the Bible says that God is without respecter of persons. The scripture says, "My brethren," James chapter 2, verse 1, "my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which ye are called? So the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are not to be partial. And the Bible says in James chapter 2 that we are to be careful about allowing the influences of our world to influence our thoughts and to influence how the church is run. Now, this is dangerous because...
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.